What's up, everybody? This is Dan with 4D. Of course, that is the Dallas Cowboys. That is the draft, because we love to cover the draft here. And of course, Doomsday Defense. So Joseph isn't going to make it today. Had some family stuff going on, which is fine. I mean, we all have it. I've had it. He's had it. You know, so we're just going to rock and roll out by myself today. So before I start, I do want to say to everybody, I hope everybody had a great holiday. Holiday is really hard for a lot of people. And I had a lot of mentals. I had to take care of this. Currently, I'm actually in the middle of it. And I know some others are in the same boat. So before we start, I do want to say, listen, if you guys have any issues, if you need anything, please get your mentals checked. My DMs are open. You can always hit me up. It's just kind of the way it works. It's just been rough. Anyway, hope everybody had a great holiday. So we're here for 4D. Of course, we're going to talk about the last game. We're going to talk about the next game. And then maybe we'll touch a little bit on some of these narratives that are out there, surrounding the team. I might even throw a tinfoil hat theory in there. You know, maybe that's a new spot, some tinfoil hat stuff. We'll talk some of that. And then, of course, I'll cover a little bit of the draft. So first, let's start off with the last game, the Arizona game. You know, it was definitely a game that we all kind of felt the Cowboys would win, but we also knew this was going to be a really difficult game. Running quarterbacks have given the Cowboys some issues. It's their mobility because of the way the Cowboys play defense. There's some open gaps for very mobile quarterbacks sometimes. And we've seen it throughout the season a little bit, and it took effect this game. The Cowboys have a really good defense right now, right? I think we all know that, the Doomsday Defense part, but there's some concern where it comes to being able to stop that mobile quarterback, their ability to pick up their first downs, especially quarterbacks who are not heavy throwers. Because this offense is predicated a lot on getting to the quarterback, creating turnovers. And if you're having a quarterback who's scrambling out and extending plays, it kind of has a little bit of a downside to this defense, right? We've seen it a little bit. We may play Arizona again. I think that they can improve on this last game, but I also feel that it's just where they're at with, they don't have Brent Urban helping clog up that middle a little bit. Everybody else has been good, but there's just some issues getting to the quarterback once he breaks containment. And we saw it again this game. It was a very disappointing game. I think the Cowboys offense is really the issue right now, which we'll get into in a little bit with the narratives. But there's definitely some issues with it. One of the big takeaways I think we've all seen from this offense is that there is still some miscommunication and some confusion going on within the offense itself. They're still trying to pound the rock up the middle sometimes where they need to start getting on the outside. These offensive linemen that they have that are starting currently are better at, the pulling, the getting people to the outside. They're not great at the strength of, point of attack and moving people out of the way and creating these massive holes. They're just not. That's not what they're built on. We saw Tyron give up some stuff. We've now seen Zach Martin give up some pressure. Getting to the outside and using their agility and mobility definitely helps because, look, one of the things I think we have all said going into the season and even prior to the season is like, oh, Connor Williams, he needs to add size, right? Tyler Biadasz needed to add some size. Even Steele, they were like, he needs to add strength and size. when you have those types of things occurring, that means that, look, these guys are mobile, but they don't have that anchor at the point of attack where they can just move the line, especially against some of the bigger, or even some more of the really wrecking ball type guys, right? And we've seen that kind of creep up. And Arizona played defense exactly as everybody else is starting to play defense. So one of the things you're seeing, especially since the Denver game, is teams are loading up to look like they're going to blitz, and then they're falling back into coverage, right? This offense is predicated, it is built around Dak being able to beat the blitz, which, by the way, when he's blitzed, he's the best quarterback in the NFL at it. Statistically, okay, this isn't just me saying he is. Statistically, he is the best when he's being blitzed. So what teams have learned is fake the blitz, make the offense believe it's going to blitz, which, you know, you'll hear the kill, kill, kills. You'll see some guys move in or out. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to get that hot route, or they're trying to get, you know, something to kind of develop. And what happens is those defenders that you think are blitzing are all of them fall back. It's not even one. It's all of them are falling back, right? And when they're falling back, it's taking away those lanes. Some people are saying, okay, Dak is missing a ton of throws. He isn't. He is missing some. Granted, he's missing some receivers. I think some of that is just the confusion that's happening as defensive backs and linebackers and even defensive linemen are falling back into more of a coverage, trying to bat passes down. We saw a lot of that. What's happening is that routes will end up in the same place, or you'll see what looks like a window open, but another receiver is coming into that same pocket. And so he's bringing that defender into that pocket where another receiver is, and it's closing really fast. And it's a tentative throw. And so Dak, instead of trying to force a ball, which we all hate when a quarterback forces a ball and you're like, why did you make that throw? He's trying not to do that. On top of that, when you have the offensive line, who is now, for whatever reason, giving up more pressure on the front four, because teams are stunting, they're doing some things that I think the Cowboys have not quite figured out how to stop. It's why they're keeping Zeke in so much. The tight ends aren't blocking. I don't know if they really have a true tight end on this roster who's a good blocker. They have some okay, sufficient guys, but they don't really have a good tight end who can get a good chip or get a good block or really kind of, you know, help out in that game. And so what's happening is you're seeing these pressures being given up, where, you know, Dak has, you know, 2 seconds and the next thing you know, he's getting hit. It's a concern, right? It's a concern for heading into the playoffs. Now, there were a couple of bright spots in the game, you know, losing Michael Gallup hurts, but I think this offense with Wilson can pick that up, or Brown over there, whichever one they put in, I think they'll be able to do it. And, you know, I know people want to see Amari fed more, and I know people want to see Pollard get more carries, and I know people want to see these things. And look, Pollard probably deserves more carries, but Pollard is not the guy who's going to be in there and really be the ground and pound third and two guy. Like, it's just not his forte. And when you're asking a running back to do that, especially a smaller running back, that's a lot of abuse. So if you want to use him more, I wouldn't say he needs to overtake Zeke, because that's probably not going to happen. Let's just be very realistic, and you can be mad at it all you want, but it's probably not going to happen. Getting him on the outside, dual sets, you know, splitting them one out wide, things of that nature can get Pollard more involved, but I don't know about handing him the ball to run more in volume, right? Handful of more touches is great. Do I think he can be a 30 carry a guy game, 20 carry a guy game? I don't. He might be able to get away with it for a game or two, but I don't think he can sustain it. That's not who he is. That's not what his style of running is. And it's not a knock because I love Pollard. I just don't think he's that kind of durable running back. Look, Zeke got banged up, and he's a pretty hefty dude who can take some abuse, and he got banged up. So I just don't know how that's going to play out. But we did see some highlights. We did see a couple things in the Arizona game. Unfortunately, they walked away with a loss. It was mostly listless type of a game. They looked like they were just lining up. They expected to win and didn't really press. And the next thing they knew, they weren't converting first downs. And, Arizona took advantage. Look, I'm not going to say the officiating was great. We all know that was a fumble. Unfortunately, for clarification, as far as I know on the rules, okay, now I might be wrong, but what I know on the rules is it wasn't within 2 minutes. Therefore, it isn't an automatic review. It was not ruled a change of possession, which means it is not up for review on its own by New York or by the officials. Had they ruled it a fumble, it would have been reviewed automatically. And then the last piece is they couldn't challenge it because the Cowboys had no timeouts. And if you lose your challenge at that point, you lose a timeout. Cowboys had no timeouts, so they couldn't even challenge there. It was just a big mess. But we can't say it was all officiating. It wasn't great. But, look, Greg Zuerlein missed an extra point. A field goal. You had some plays that were left on the field. There were a lot of drops again. These receivers are dropping passes, and it's a concern. But look, you go back to the Washington game, and they were just blowing it out, right? So there's no easy answer, right? And they got one more game. I would have preferred looking at the last game, I would have preferred probably you go in, you sit some guys, Parsons now supposedly on COVID protocol, but you sit some guys, you just get ready for the playoffs, right? Because the playoffs, if you play like this in the playoffs, you're not going to win. You're just not. You're not going to make it to the Super Bowl. You're not going to win very many games in the playoffs. You can maybe win with this defense, but you're going to have to be able to be better on offense. The playoffs change, man. The playoffs change the whole thing. It's a whole new season. So you're heading into Philadelphia. Philly has made the playoffs. Cowboys made the playoffs. There is a chance for the Cowboys to get the number two seed. Basically, they need everybody to lose. you need Tampa Bay. You need New Orleans. I believe it's New Orleans, San Francisco, and Seattle or something like that to win. But you need three teams essentially to win and you to win to all get to make it to the number two seed. Number three is possible as well. You need some help there. So I probably would have gone in and said, look, we're going to rest some guys, maybe not everybody, but you rest the ones that like you're going to probably need in the playoffs, right? Injuries are a concern. You lose Dak. You lose Amari, you lose CD, you lose Parsons, you lose some of these guys, and now you're, regardless of what you do in the playoffs, you're down a lot of talent. And do you risk it? I don't know. But Jerry Jones has come out and said they're going to play everybody. They're going to play hard. Decisions made. You probably want to put on a show for the playoffs. You kind of want to get a tune-up for the playoffs and just do what you can on your end and try to get a higher seed. Because look, right now you're playing Arizona or the Rams. Do you really want to face them round one, even at home? I don't know. Probably not. Can you, if you move up to two, hey, you might be able to play the Eagles. So yeah, I get it. I get moving up. I get the whole idea of it. I just don't know if that's the best move. We'll find out. I could be completely off base there. So heading to the Philly game, knowing that everybody's going to play, I believe what's probably going to happen is they're going to come out swinging. They're going to come out and try to show people that they are not this team that we have seen outside of the Washington game. They're going to come out and try to do some things that hopefully get them ready for the playoffs. Now, how do I think this game is going to go? To be honest with you, I don't know. I think the Cowboys will win this game, but we're at the point now where you can't guarantee anything. It's what you were confident about before, you're not so confident about now, right? I think everybody's kind of in this same boat, but I do think the Cowboys will win this. Where they're going to need to really focus is on offense. I think the defense is fine. Yeah, Parsons out kind of hurts, especially with how thin the linebacker position is currently. I think that's going to hurt them. But I think ultimately the offense will be able to pick it up this game and make some plays and do some things that, you know, look, we may not have seen them do for a minute. You know, we are still not seeing a lot of motion like we did early in the season, which creates separation. Look, the Cowboys wide receivers have some of the worst separation in the league. Part of that is because of the way teams are playing, where they're just all dropping into coverage, right? And so they're not separating. They can't separate. There's, you know, seven guys in coverage. So I think, you know, they might do that. They may go back to trying to get more involved. And I don't want to say more involved in the run game. I don't think they'll necessarily, you know, be like, oh, we're going to run it 40 times. But I think that they're going to try maybe to do some things with the run game where, you know, hey, get people on the outside, try to do a counter or something that hopefully kind of moves the needle. Defenses are playing, and you know, in some ways, very conservatively against the Cowboys. It's not like it's a prevent defense, but they're throwing an umbrella up, you know, a deep cover two or a cover one who happens to shade to whichever side is going deep. And then the Cowboys are, you know, linebackers are dropping back into the middle there. There is a spot over the middle that can be open, but they have to get the right plays to get there. And you know, with these teams showing blitz, you have to respect the fact that a blitz could come, right? How they fix it, man, that's Kellen Moore's job. You know, I think one of the easiest ways to do it is, first off, get away from the screens, right? Because teams are sitting back and waiting for these screens. We have been screening ourselves to death. You know, throw a wheel out there, a wheel route, throw a, you know, an up and out with both on a cover one with both wide receivers and force a single coverage situation. You know, run a rub route. Like, we don't see a ton of rub routes with this offense. We haven't for a long time. And I don't know if that was a Jason Garrett holdover. Maybe they're worried about a pick play getting called on them. But look, this is the most penalized team in the NFL. At this point, you should be doing anything you can anyway. And just accepting the fact that you're probably going to get a whole bunch of penalties called against you. Some of it's on their own. Some of it is mechanics. Some of it is just really terrible officiating. And look, this isn't just the Cowboys. We have seen it all this season, how bad the NFL is at officiating. And Jerry Jones came out and said, look, full-time refs aren't going to make a big difference. Look, he has said many a time that this is a league that's built on 8-8 and parity and this and that and the other thing. Why? Because guess what? Competition creates money, eyes. People want to see it. They don't want to. Most casual fans who are not, you know, let's say a Cowboys fan, right? Most, let's say, I don't know, Broncos fans out there who the only game on maybe is the Cowboys versus Eagles. They're not, they don't want to watch a blowout. They, in fact, if they do, they want to see the Eagles blow out the Cowboys, right? But really, they want to see a good game. A normal casual NFL fan just wants to see a good game. So the NFL does what it can. It brings money. Also, paying full-time refs is money out of the pockets of the owners. hate to say it, but this is just how it is. But they do need to go to a full-time officiating. They need a punishment system or a penalty system for officials for repeated bad calls. They have trainings. They have a whole bunch of things they need to do. Whether they'll do them, we'll see in the off season. It'll be up to the competition committee. But I don't know how much will change, and it's terrible. But going to the Eagles game, look, run rub routes, do things that, you know, are borderline, I suppose is the term, and try to create, you know, and try to free things, some things up. Don't change. You don't need to change your playbook necessarily, but you maybe just change a route combo, or maybe just, you know, move a guy over and have him, you know, say, hey, listen, when they do this, when they show this, you're going to come across instead of run your out route, which will free up the tight end coming out to the outside for an out route, right? Or whatever that looks like. But there's a lot of issues. It's blocking. It's, you know, Dak is throwing a lot off of his back foot. Why? Because he's getting pressure. He doesn't trust the O-line. I'm sure that's a big chunk of it. We don't trust the O-line. So if you're the quarterback, imagine how much you distrust it then. You have to trust it a little bit, obviously, but you get what I'm saying. So going to the Eagles game, you know, do what you can. Try a couple of things, because at the end of the day, you're stuck in the four position. If you lose, you're not losing the number four position. So this is the game to try things. You have the playoffs coming up. You have to be ready for these playoffs. You're out of time. And you're not getting a bye week. So you lost that when you lost to Arizona. You lost even the chance of that when you lost to Arizona. So you're going to have to figure something out. So going to the Eagles game again, my defensive player of the game, I honestly think this is going to be a tank game. Look, the Jalen Hurts can move, and he is a mobile quarterback, which will cause some issues. But I also know that, you know, Philly is not a great team. Their O-line's a little questionable at times. So I think this might be a tank game. You know, we could probably say Randy, but I'll go tank on this. I'm not going to predict what his stats are, because look, I don't know. I'm just really bummed out about it, right? Like, I think we're all kind of bummed out of where this team is. On offense, interestingly, I believe this is going to be a CeeDee Lamb game. You know, the Eagles aren't great in coverage. I think CD can absolutely just blow away their cornerbacks. So I think this might be a CeeDee Lamb game. For the score, I think the Cowboys will win. They'll probably sit some guys late in the game because they'll be up. I think they'll get over 30 finally. And I think it's going to be like a 31-17, 31-20 type of game. I am not a huge fan of Jalen Hurts as a quarterback, but he's a mobile quarterback, and those cause problems for the Cowboys, just the way it is. And without Micah Parsons, if he doesn't play, and there's still time to get through COVID protocols this week, but he's going to be able to keep some plays alive with his legs. He's going to keep some drives going. You know, their weapons don't scare me, but I think Jalen Hurts can absolutely be a little bit of a punishment for this defense. So walking away, the Cowboys will win. They'll probably sit some guys later in the game if they're way up, which I think they may try to do. And we'll see. We'll see. Instead of tinfoil hat, let's go to some of these narratives first, right? And there's a really big narrative out there that Dak Prescott is inaccurate. Okay. Look, guys, if that's what you think over the course of the season, you're wrong. You're wrong. He has a really good completion percentage, especially when you compare it to people like Patrick Mahomes, right? A really good completion percentage. You know, he, this offense is top in EPA, DVOA. Now, granted, the CPOE has not been great in the last couple of weeks, but he hasn't been inaccurate. There have been a lot of drops, which also give a little bit of an appearance to the to that, right? But he hasn't been inaccurate. There are a lot of things he is doing that we can point at, like throwing off the back foot, maybe missing a guy here and there, maybe not taking off on a run sometimes because teams are kind of pushing off and there's holes opening up in the middle that Dak isn't taking off on. We can certainly question that. But as for the accuracy piece, it is wrong. Okay. Everybody wants him to be perfect. Nobody is. I think that he has absolutely shown he is worth the money. Unfortunately, these last couple of games have put that question into some people's brains. Look, people are like, well, you're paying him all this money. Okay, look, he's having a better year than Pat Mahomes is. Pat Mahomes is making more money, right? Allen up in Buffalo, he's having a better year than Allen, and Allen makes the same. And then people are like, well, you know, if you want that kind of money and, you know, breaking the bank and da-da-da. Look, people will name all these other quarterbacks who are making less. What people forget is a lot of these quarterbacks now making way less at the time they signed their deal, Matt Stafford, was the highest paid or one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league. That's how the market works. It is exactly how the market works. And if you don't like the way the market works, then I'm sorry, you don't like the free market system in general. It's a supply and demand thing. And that's why it is the way it is. Look, TV money is about to roll in. You're going to see some of these quarterbacks who may not deserve it or may deserve it, but they're going to get paid more because that's the way it works. You want to change it? Great. Find a way to change it. Because the NFL isn't going to do it. Be a commissioner. Be the commissioner. Find a way to be the commissioner. Because I'll tell you now, if you were the owner of a team and you made a low ball offer on a quarterback, you're out of quarterback. And guess what? You're back in the cycle. And essentially, you become the Cleveland Browns. You don't like that fact. I'm sorry. It is what it is. So that's the first one. Again, you don't like it. Tough. That's just the reality of it all. So the second piece that I want to address is Anthony Brown. Okay. And everybody, there's this take out there right now that Anthony Brown is this trash cornerback. He's not good. You know, he gives up all these touchdowns. Everybody beats him. Look, he has a better completion percentage against. So he gives up less receptions by percentage than Jalen Ramsey is this year. It is. But let's move over to the, okay, maybe completion percentage isn't the greatest. Okay. He's giving up all his touchdowns. He's only given up one more touchdown than Trevon Diggs. One. That's it. So that's kind of weird. But hey, look, there are some people. There's a website out there that believes Trevon Diggs is a really bad cornerback. Giving up a ton of yards, giving up this, giving up that. But I think we all know Trevon Diggs is a really solid cornerback who is still learning some of these, the nuance of the position, but is creating a ton of turnovers and is putting this team in some really good positions with these turnovers. So you can say Anthony Brown is this and that. Part of it's some bad luck. I mean, there have been some throws that are absolutely the only place a quarterback could have thrown that ball that the receiver could potentially have caught it, and it's getting caught, or we were seeing wide receivers make some ridiculous catches. Now, Can Anthony Brown get his hands up better? Sure. Can he get in the passing lane a little better? Sure. But to say he is this trash cornerback, I don't, not really. Now, I will say you can upgrade from him. Sure. Absolutely. What I would probably do is you keep him on the roster next year. You move him to slot, move Lewis to four, or you move on from Lewis. That's just where I'm at with it. But that's a narrative that's out there, and it's a wrong narrative. If you want to address some of these other things, such as not getting into lanes, such as not getting his head around sometimes, which is causing some pass interferences, sure, you can absolutely point to that. But when you're telling me he's trash and he has a really solid completion percentage against, and he hasn't given up as many TDs as people want to believe, then guess what? He isn't trash. He's just not what you want. All right. So number three, you do not need to establish the run. Everybody needs to stop with this establishing the run. This is not the 1980s or 1990s where you need to run 50% of the time. It is not that game. We have analytics and technology with video and instant video. And, you know, back in those days, they were using flip books to look at the plays, right? Now you have live video on these tablets and they're seeing how everything breaks down. And, you know, players are adjusting in ways that we have never seen. Faster players. It's just not that game anymore. You need to be efficient when you run. You need to have the threat that if you back off from us, we are going to make you pay with a run or a screen. As we've talked about, a lot of us consider that still part of the run game. You're going to see this punishment. Well, if you're not punishing and you're just forcing a run to force a run, you're really not helping yourself. It is a more efficient offense to pass in today's NFL. The most efficient running team in the NFL overall is still not even in the top half of the league in overall offensive efficiency. So you can believe that you need to establish the run. You don't. You don't need to force feed the run. This is not that era. You need to be efficient in your run. Efficient, guys. Not establish. Please, let's get rid of that. All right, number four. This offensive line is not elite. It hasn't been elite for a minute now. You know, Travis Frederick is gone, right? People, I had somebody point out, you know, how this offensive line operated with DeMarco Murray, right? Or McFadden. And I was like, do you realize how different this offensive line is? You know, you got players who've aged. Look, I love Zach Martin and I love Tyron Smith, but the facts of the matter are they're aging. We all do it. Every one of us ages, and things we could do when we were 24, 25, you can't do when you're 31, 32, 33. They change. You slow a little bit. You move a little differently. Things hurt a little longer. Injuries linger. I'm almost 50. Like, I'm in my mid-40s. I'm almost 50. I'm going to tell you now, look, I can still do stuff, but I can't do what I did even 10 years ago. So it is what it is. You know, you have Biadasz, who has had a really rocky season, up and down, and it's just rocky. I think teams have figured out some of his strengths and are trying to prey on the weakness. You know, Connor Williams looks like he's going to be okay, but there's a technique flaw he has in the way he gets his hand set, and it's causing a lot of holdings, right? He's getting his arms on the outside of the shoulder pads, outside of the arms, and it's causing holds. That's a technique thing. And then you got the right tackle, which, look, Lyle's started to come look much better as he's come back, but he's still not the same guy. He's not this over dominant force that we were used to the last couple of seasons before. Well, not last season, season prior. It's a whole bunch of different stuff. And so this offensive line is not, you know, you'll hear it on these big talk shows and, you know, look, the Cowboys sell. So they talk about them and they'll be like, oh, the Cowboys have this elite offensive line. It's not elite. It hasn't been. I don't know why that has continued to stay as this offensive line has gotten the injuries and degraded over the last several years. You know, you don't have Travis there anymore. There's just a lot of turnover. It's not the same offensive line, guys. So please stop saying it's an elite offensive line. It's a decent offensive line. It can be a good offensive line at times, but it's not elite. Okay. Let's back off that. You know, they'll have elite moments. Tyron, if he's 100%, is usually still pretty elite. But even we saw it last game, he had some struggles. Even Zach Martin's giving up pressures now. This is not the same offensive line. Number five, again, we're going back. They don't have a tight end who can block on this roster. And I know people are like, well, throw McGovern out there. And you can do that to an extent. But what that does is it takes the extra receiver off the field. And now teams only have to focus on two people, maybe three, versus having the extra. Maybe for some running downs, you might do that. But look, the Cowboys have to figure this out, right? They're having some troubles getting the blocking going, especially if they want to try to move people off the line. These tight ends are just not it in that aspect. Look, they're great. Schultz has been really good in the receiving game. You know, Jarwin's coming back. You have some guys who can make some plays, but you do not have a guy who can block for you. You know, Joseph and I have talked about it. Do we bring Nick Ralston in? Look, Nick Ralston has some size issues. We get it, but he has the strength to at least get a solid chip, which these tight ends are not doing. And look, we've seen him. We saw him in college. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. It's not like he can't do something. Maybe convert him to tight end. I know the height is issue, but you don't have a blocking tight end. Make him your blocking tight end with an ability here and there to make a reception. I don't know what else to do for this, but these are narratives that are out there. And if you're going to speak to these narratives, by all means, speak to your narrative. I'm all for people having a stance, right? But what you're doing is you're not looking at the overall picture and you're taking the easy route and saying, or taking some information that's handed to you without any basis of your own research. So please, guys, dump some of these terrible narratives. Do a little research. Look at things like analytics. Rewatch film. And look, if you're going to watch film, okay, and I'm about to get into some college stuff and draft stuff. If you're going to watch film, watch a play and watch it, rewatch that play several times, focusing on different people. Don't just watch the play and be like, well, I watched the film. You may have missed a bad hand usage. You may have missed a piece of footwork issue, a stutter step, a false step. You may have missed a on defense. You may have missed a hit switch. You may have missed a you may miss a blown coverage when you go back and rewatch. You know, I'm going to watch, I don't know, Jordan Lewis on this play, and you're like, man, he played it right, but Neil was the one out of position, but it looked like it was on Lewis, but really it was a Neil thing, and Lewis was trying to cover up for it. So please, guys, like, do some of this yourself. There's plenty of smart people out there who do this as well. You know, if you need help finding them, please hit me up. So that's the narrative. Now let's do a quick tinfoil hat thing, and then we'll do the draft stuff. So tinfoil hat. Tinfoil hat is that at the end of the day, Kellen Moore really has been keeping it a little bit vanilla. He's been adjusting the playbook all this time and really waiting for the playoffs, knowing they were going to make the playoffs, so that no team had any film on what they were doing, and come out and absolutely do some things. I know it sounds like a crazy tinfoil hat theory, but hey, let's have some fun with it, right? I don't know if that there's any credence to this, but that's the hope, is that the offense, Kellen Moore, the things that are going wrong right now, at the end of the day, will hopefully light up in the playoffs and things will be different. You tell me, tinfoil hat, maybe we'll do more tinfoil hats. I hope that's the case. I can't say that it is. All right, draft stuff. I think we all know, we've said it every week, this quarterback class is not great. There are some teams in our division, the NFC East, who absolutely need quarterbacks. I've heard several names get thrown out, around, up, down, inside, now. But look, none of these guys are all that overly impressive. They're all going to need work. They're all going to need some type of development, probably more than we've seen over the last few years. So where that goes, it probably means that guys are going to get picked a little early, which is fine. It happens every year. You see it all the time. Teams get in need of quarterbacks, so they make moves for them. You know, and you know, we've seen it, especially like the Browns. You know, we've seen it years and years and years where they'll take a chance to move up. It may not be the greatest class, but they need a quarterback really bad. They move up, they pick a guy, and guess what? Not the guy they really thought it was going to be, and they're back on the quarterback carousel, which is something, thankfully, the Cowboys have not been on since before Romo. So if you're looking at the quarterbacks, I don't know if right now I have a top 10 quarterback. Just ranking-wise, I'm sure some will go there. Probably Pickett, Corral will probably both be in that discussion. Some people will really like Sam Howell. I think him, Malik Willis, Carson Strong, Desmond Ridler, the same names. But look, after that group of six, you may not get another really solid quarterback until the fifth round. You might get one in the fourth. I mean, again, guys are going to move up, but like, there really just isn't that kind of draft. But let's focus a little bit on the Cowboys, right? So the Cowboys have some needs this year. We don't know what free agency is going to look like. So we always make these assumptions of, look, Michael Gallup just got injured. There's a possibility he comes back super cheap, but at the same time, they may decide to just be like, you know what? We got guys. We'll roll with it. You may need a wide receiver. You know, what do you do at cornerback? You got Joseph, you got Wright, who you're trying to develop. You're going to probably need a cornerback. You almost always need cornerbacks. What do you do with your safeties? You need probably more help on the defensive line a little bit. You don't really have a lot of pass rushing depth. We've talked about that. Offensive line is probably need some help. You might want to start looking at, finally, I've only been saying it for 3 years, finding a guy that can start developing to replace Tyron. I'm not saying he needs to be replaced next year, but you probably need to start looking at it. I know people have talked about dumping Zeke. I don't think that'll happen, but maybe you need a running back, right? You're going to have some needs. People want to say they need a linebacker. They probably do. I don't know if you spend another first rounder with some of the other holes that you potentially could have. If you fill them right, maybe. So let's go into this draft. One of the names, I know people are really kicking around is Devin Lloyd, the linebacker out of Utah. He's pretty solid in coverage, actually. I don't know if he is going to be a replacement for LVE, though, right? Because LVE and Parsons are, they have two totally different roles. And I get it. People want, you know, two Parsons there, but like LVE does some things that is just different in his skill set, right? He's a bigger guy. He tends to hit, he tends to thump instead of wrap up and tackle, which is great because you want to punish running backs and ball carriers. But I'm feeling that when we get to, you know, the Senior Bowls and we get to the combine and we get, Lloyd may not be available, right? So what does that mean? You know, you could have a Trevor Penning who's an offensive tackle sitting there. I'd be fine with that. You know, you might have like a Jermaine Johnson and edge, Daxton Hill, the safety. You might get a, that may not be a bad one. He comes out of Michigan. He's pretty versatile. He can kind of do a little bit of everything. He's a free safety who can also play some nickel. You know, he's cover one kind of guy. I don't know if I'd put him in cover two, maybe necessarily just right away, but I think he has the skill set to do it. He's super smart. He's a really good tackler. He has good burst, good speed, good flip, you know, hip flips. He's a solid guy. I might go him in the first round. But as you go through this, like let's just assume, you know, the Cowboys don't sign their safeties and you go a guy like Daxton Hill, right? So as this draft develops throughout the year or throughout the rounds, what you're going to see is certain positions are going to start getting really thin. It's a top heavy in some areas. It's deep in other areas. And I know everybody wants to do the, you know, best player available. And yeah, you should within reason, right? I mean, if your best player is available as a quarterback, running back, let's say guard, maybe you may not go that route, right? Even though they're the highest rated, like they're kind of positions you like, you're not going to draft those maybe necessarily in the first round. So it's within reason, right? So, you know, as you go through, you know, round two is where you might be able to get your edge. You might be able to get your linebacker. You know, Darian Beavers might be there from Cincinnati. I don't know if anybody watched the game. You know, Darian Beavers, Henry Tutus. You also might go tight end. You know, Whittemore's there. You have Likely might be there. You have Ruckert who will be there. You know, if you get away from your tight ends, look, Ruckert is a guy I like, not because of what he can do in a receiving game. Like he's kind of like that Jason Witten type dude who you're like, okay, I need you to block. So he blocks. I need you to run this option route. He runs the option route. He's not going to burn the guys down the field, right? He's not going to be that, you know, seam team six type guy, but he's going to be the all-around solid tight end that you kind of don't have on this roster right now. So maybe you go that route. You know, let's say you go edge, Majai Sanders. I like him as an edge, one of the higher rated guys potentially in round two. So let's say you just do that. You know, now what happens is now is when you start seeing some thin things popping up. You know, right around round three, you might be able to sit and wait and get a Ruckert or a Cade Otton or, I might go linebacker here though. Like, and that's what I'm saying is as you break this draft down, it's going to get thin in some positions where other positions are going to stack up and you're going to have these, this ability to reach into the fourth round, fifth round, and find a guy that fell because teams are going to reach for an offensive tackle because, you know, it might be top heavy, or they're going to reach for a wide receiver because it's super top heavy, right? And so if you play it right, you're still getting one of your top two or three BPA guys, but you're also not confining yourself to say, well, I have to make this move now. This guy may drop. I like him a little bit after where we're picking, but he may drop because I know team A, B, C, and D really need a wide receiver, and there's three on the board, and here I am picking. Maybe you take that chance, right? Especially teams that need the same thing you need. I don't know. There's a whole strategy to approaching the draft. It isn't strictly a BPA. It isn't strictly like, oh, this is the best guy on my board, so I'm just going to grab him. Yes, that's it to a part, but there's also a piece of it where you're trying to strategize and predict what other teams might do. You're trying to kind of figure out who will fall, who you want to rise, who you like, what's the good sweet spot to grab that person. Because you, as we saw last year with Nashon Wright, nobody, I mean, we talked, you know, apparently the Saints did, but nobody really had him where we picked him. They liked him enough where they felt, okay, this is the sweet spot to get him, because if we wait now, maybe somebody like the Saints will swoop in before we get to the next round. So they made that play, right? Their big boards don't always necessarily match up with experts and analysts and these, you know, big boards that you see all over the place. My big board for certain will not be the same big board as Joseph's. And we agree on a lot of things. We don't agree on everything, but we'll agree on a lot of things, but I'll guarantee you my board will look different than his, right? We've seen it with like Dane Brugler. Dane's board is fabulous, but it doesn't always necessarily line up with Kyle Krabs, right? Or Jonathan Toles. It's close. There's some guys here and there, but you'll see a guy or a name that you're like, why do you have him in the third round and everybody else has him in the fifth? The guy goes in the third and you're like, well, all right, maybe there was something to it. Or the guy goes in the sixth and you're like, well, everybody was wrong. There's a strategy to it. And look, we're not there yet. There's a long road to go. We still got the playoffs. We still have, you know, the combine. We still have the final bowl game, which really I'm not interested in. You have things coming up, right? Senior bowls, all of these things happen before the draft. Of course, you'll find out this person, you know, had a, you know, speeding ticket 5 years ago and it knocks them down around, or this, you know, some of them are serious. You know, this person, you know, was in abuse, caused abuse. This person had a violent thing. This person stole stuff. You know, it was one of my knocks on Parsons last year, is he had some things happen at Penn State that were pretty serious. And you don't know how that person really has changed until you're there, until you've actually seen that person do it. And so, you know, he had taken a year off and there were some questions, you know, he didn't drop very far. I mean, shoot, we got him near the top of the draft, but like, these things occur, and that's why people will drop. It isn't just about talent, right? There's intelligence, you know, the wonderful Wunderlich test. There's intelligence, there's scheme fits, as we've seen. Look, I hate the idea of scheme fit for the most part. Sometimes you need the scheme fit, right? You're missing a blocking tight end. Maybe you grab that guy in the fifth or sixth round because that's what you need, or that's your scheme. Maybe not necessarily take that kind of guy in the first round, like we saw with the super famous taco over TJ Watt, especially first round talent, right? First round talent is usually elite talent. Usually, not always, there's always busts, but you have a higher probability of elite talent. Therefore, you go for the elite talent. Keeping in mind what you currently have, what if that person will actually end up playing. Again, you're not drafting a quarterback round one and having him take over for Dak this year. It's just not going to happen. So these are all parts of the discussion. So looking at this draft, there's some really cool stuff, you know, with, I'm excited for, you know, offensive tackle. I'm excited for some of the offensive line in general. I'm excited for, there's some decent kind of tight end class. Like, I'm not saying it's, you know, everybody's dream Kyle Pitts class, but there's some really solid tight ends this class. There's some fairly solid safeties this class. There's some decent cornerbacks. So there are some positions that I'm really excited about. Not super excited about quarterback. Meh. You know, running back is kind of one of those ones that you hit, miss. Guys, running back is such a funky position in this era of football. But there is some meat to this class, but not necessarily like it has been. But fortunately, some of that meat is positions of need for the Cowboys, or potential, let's just call it potential positions of need. Because again, we don't know what they've done in free agency, injuries, like there's still a long road to go. All right, guys. So I want to thank you for listening. Hopefully I didn't bore you to death. Hopefully you enjoyed some of my ranting, and you know, play the Eagles, win. We'll see you next week after the game. We'll be prepared for the playoffs. Man, I hope the tinfoil hat theory is right, or I hope they figured it out and they walk into these playoffs and they amaze all of us, made it to the Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl, and we can all celebrate and cheer. All right, guys. So you can find me, of course, at Dan_Rupert, RUPPERT on the old bird app. You can find me at Sport DFW. My latest article is about Kellen Moore and some of the issues he's had, and how he went from hero to villain. You can find it on Sport DFW on Fansided. And then you can find Joseph at the J.A. Massey. You can find his articles on Star Boys Network. You can find this podcast on Star Boys Network. You go there, click the link to 4D. It'll take you right to whichever system, you know, whichever thing you listen to, iOS or Android or whatever. And you can click there, or you can just find it on your favorite, you know, do a little search for it on your favorite podcast listening app, whatever you have. So thank you, guys. We will catch you on the flip. Stay safe. For those who are caught up in those storms, please stay safe, stay warm, and we will catch you guys on the flip. Peace.